you know, I always have to wonder if that's actually a signal that LA is doing something right, because in order to convict, you are being vigilant enough to find people who are committing corrupt acts, and you are prosecuting those acts and following through, and you're doing so successfully. And I would say that there are a couple of dynamics that can make it really easy for corruption to happen. One is that when people are powerful, they are disinhibited, so they tend to look for rewards in their environment. They tend to really sort of hone in on those rewards, and then they tend to pursue them. They become very action-oriented, and so they're much more likely to go after what they want. Because LA is a very wealthy city, there are a lot of people who have a lot of power, political power, business power, entertainment. I think that you've got an environment that makes both sides of the equation sort of ripe for difficulty or ripe for abuse.
If we're seeing so many headlines about corruption, like the Bell scandal, why aren't we learning?
Our general sense is not that we have a great deal of power to change the system. And so given that, it's kind of natural psychological adaptation to when we feel deprived of control ourselves, to believe that there are sources of control out there that are benevolent and good. Because of our own sort of anxiety or sense of vulnerability or sense that we cannot control the world, we have to adapt to the world that we're given, we sort of put a smile on it, which is sometimes a distortion of reality.
In LA, you know, this is sort of a one-party town. Do you think that that plays a part in corruption, that there's no checks and balances?
So although LA is a one-party town, the way I interpret LA's political system is that it's a multiple community town. So there may not be parties, but there are clearly these sort of stakeholder communities, some of them based on race or ethnicity, some of them based on maybe industry. But just look at race and ethnicity. I mean, I think that there's a strong African-American community. There's a large Latino community that maybe sometimes is not as organized, but certainly has a lot of potential political power. And I think that you have political leaders who are serving those communities. And so I think there are probably checks and balances in that sense. However, I also think that when you have a strong affiliation with this identity-based community, and the result of that, I think, is that leaders will feel that they are doing good when they are serving their community, particularly if their community has a history of being disadvantaged. Although I am not in any way saying that I would think that corruption would be disproportionately among disadvantaged communities, but I'm just talking about like the justification that people could come up with. So if you're serving a disadvantaged community, for example, and so you feel sort of emboldened to do what it takes.
Moving forward, now that this report has been released, what do you think we can do better?
I just think that if people know that they themselves have this tendency to be forgiving of leaders, but that those leaders may not always deserve that, that they have to remember to be not, you know, I think suspicious, but critical. So as somebody's power increases, our demands that they be transparent in their ethical decision-making decrease. Like, we let them be more secretive. And that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. So what we should be doing is setting up formal transparency structures, you know, formal accountability structures.